Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and I want to thank you so much for listening this morning. It's been a little heat up in here in Philadelphia, and it's about to come back again next week. But today I think we're getting a slight breather. I just want to play a quick public service announcement about teen dating violence, because today we're going to be talking with author Sharon Slake about her new book, You Don't Even Know Me, dealing with boys and their stories and poems. So I want to play this public service announcement real quick.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much. I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start, how you can spot the signs, and most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.
Well, for those of you who don't know, unfortunately, February is the month where we celebrate Valentine's Day, but it is also Teen Violence Prevention Month, and so I think that's a really important issue. Even if you're not a parent, you see kids all the time, you might see something happening with younger children, and I think it's your responsibility to try to step in. Unfortunately, you don't have to wait till somebody's 25 or 35 for them to get into an abusive relationship. It's starting when they're in high school. And that's one of the reasons I really wanted to have Sharon Flake on this morning, because her books are really speaking to young people and the issues that they're dealing with, either race or sex, HIV infection, abuse, obesity, all types of things. I'm going to read a little from her book, You Don't Even Know Me, Stories and Poems About Boys. You don't even know me. I sit in your class. I play by the rules. I'm young. I'm fly. I'm black. So, of course, I think I'm cool. Geometry is my thing. Physics is just a breeze. So it bothered me last week when you said I should be happy with that C. You know, I've been wondering lately, trying to figure out just how it could be that you're around me so often and still don't know a thing about me. Well, there's a whole bunch more to that poem, and as a matter of fact, on my webpage, you can see a video of some young men reciting the poem. Definitely take a moment to check that out. Good morning, Ms. Flake.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining the show this morning. I mean, your work is just phenomenal, especially because you're an adult.
Thanks.
And you're writing and about teen stuff.
And I'm,
like,
I'm 54,
like,
too, so I'm not a young adult.
Well, it doesn't matter because I'm a parent and I have a teenager, and I read your books and I was like, that sounds like her or her friends. So it's great what you're doing. And how did you start being a writer? Did you always want to be a writer when you were little, or how did you start writing all the books?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm from Philadelphia. I'm from North Philadelphia. And a lot of times people ask, did you write when you were young? Did you want to be a writer? And I didn't. I don't recall. I'm always hoping some teacher somewhere will contact me and say, yeah, you did, and you just don't remember. but, you know, I started in college, really. I wanted to do some other things, and it just didn't pan out for me in college. I didn't have that particular gift, but I was taking writing classes. And more and more I discovered that I liked it, and I wasn't very good at a lot of other things, so it's good that I could write. So that's kind of how I got into it. And then a little bit later in life, I did it off and on for a little while, but really once my daughter was born, I really, in terms of fiction, I really started to get, like, very serious about it and pursue it more. So.
Well, that's great. I'm happy that you did. And also I think the mayor of the city of Pittsburgh is happy, too, because he declared February 16th, 2010, as Sharon G. Flake Day.
He did.
You also how did that make you feel, like your own day? I mean, wow.
You know what? It was really, really nice. I was really, really honored. A lot of it you try to, like, say, oh, that's nice, and put it at the back of your head, though, and keep on going and doing what you have to do. But it was really nice. It was special.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a wonderful honor. Also, just for the audience to know, she was ranked number one African-American author under Disney Hyperion Books. She is also selected by the NBA Philadelphia 76ers and Cleveland Cavaliers to participate as a featured author in their 2010 NBA/Read to Achieve program. You have received numerous awards, and one of them includes the ALA Coretta Scott King and John Steptoe New Talent Award. That was for your first novel. And that's dealing with the issue of race and color, and that's something we battle a lot with this inside the African-American community.
Well, you know, The Skin I'm In, that's my most popular novel. Out of like 1.5 million books sold, most of those are The Skin I'm In. And that whole issue of a dark-skinned girl getting picked on by other kids who look like her because they think she's too dark, and how that plays itself out in our community has been really phenomenal. I recently just got some emails from college students who are African-Americans in their 20s who said they read this book when they were like 12, and they still pull it out when they don't feel so hot about themselves at the moment. So literature can really help transform us.
It can take you to another place, and I think that's important sometimes. We just deal with so many things in our life, you know, especially as an adult. But as a teenager, you don't know sometimes how to balance, and so I think reading is just great for kids, and it can take you somewhere in a positive place, not a negative place, hopefully, if you're reading the right book. Let me read some of another part of your book. You deal with so many issues in this new book, You Don't Even Know Me, Stories and Poems About Boys. Please pick it up if you're listening. Please take a moment to read this. And if you don't have any children, again, please pick up her book and give it to another child. I think it will really be instrumental, especially for young boys. This book is phenomenal. But let me read this part here. After my granddad died a few months ago, my grandmother sat at the window every day and yelled at guys walking by, "You know my husband? Who shot him?" Or she would be at church. Her friends would tell my mom, asking boys my age what they knew about the killing. She quit doing that after I came 3 weeks ago. Didn't want to make me no target, she said. But I just took over where she left off, only in my own way. Now she says for me to quit it before something bad happens to me, too. I usually do exactly what I'm told, but not lately. Lately, I feel like getting even, paying back. Only I guess I need to be smarter. Going empty-handed doesn't make any sense. I'm not sure why I thought it would. I mean, this is a serious issue in our community. You know you're from Philadelphia. I'm sure you see the news, all the gun violence, people are killing police.
Right.
There is no respect. I mean, what can we say to these kids? Because their grandfathers are being shot, their moms are being shot, their little sisters are being shot. You could be sitting in your house.
Well,
what do you think we should say?
Well, you know, first of all, Philadelphia needs to know they're not alone. We have that issue in Pittsburgh and all over the country, and it might be lesser to a lesser degree, but it's still, if your mom got shot, if your cousin, your neighbor got shot, you don't care if, you know, thousands of people are being shot somewhere else. You really care about what's happening to you and your community. I wrote that story just the way I wrote another novel called Bang, about a young boy whose 6-year-old brother gets killed through random violence. Because wanting people to deal with that whole issue of violence and the impact of families and the fact that young people don't get to be a part of the conversation very often. You're losing relatives and friends, and nobody is talking to you about how you feel or getting you therapy a lot of times. And so I wrote that book to kind of address some of those issues in this story as well.
Well, definitely the mental health issue. I did a story recently. Mental Health Awareness Month was just a little while ago, and I had a focus on youth and mental health because they are forgotten in the communities, in the urban communities. They're dealing with stresses. It's like a war zone. You know, you think about Israel, Palestine, you think about Darfur, you think about different areas in North Korea and things of that nature, but you're not thinking about your local neighborhood.
Well,
as
exactly,
a war zone.
It is a war zone, and nobody, yeah. Now I won't say anybody, but they hardly ever get thought about in terms of how do we help them deal with this? How do we help them have conversations with them? How do we help them have conversations about it? A lot of times when I'm dealing again with Bang, and I'll go to a school and I'll ask kids, how many people here know someone who's been killed through random violence? 50, 60, 80% of the hands will go up.
And
so you think, okay, and we want you to get A's, and we want you to be great students, and we want you to be what? Okay, you understand what I'm saying? So we've
well,
got
yeah, how
to,
can they do that, and they're dealing with these issues?
I think it's very hard, and I think most times we forget that young people, they get up every day, they go to school, they do what they're supposed to do. Millions of inner-city kids every day do that, and they do it under tremendous stress and tremendous pressure. And so as a novelist, for me, what I can do is say, okay, here's a story, and here's a novel in which you may see yourself or your friends or whatever. And I try to create stories that will help them to talk and to think and to express themselves and to maybe even write themselves. And not just them, but kids that don't even look like them, that don't even live where they live. Again, when I deal with my other novel, Bang, I've gone to neighborhoods where there are no black kids, no Latinos, like outside of Chicago suburb where it was like $500,000 house average. And I ask that same question, do you know if somebody's been killed in random violence? And these hands start to go up. Now, it's not the same numbers, but it was enough for a counselor to say, I didn't know that. And so
yeah.
The nice thing about literature is that we can all see one another in our stories, whether we've been in that situation or not. And with You Don't Even Know Me, I really just try to deal with boys and take them from all different perspectives. Just like you said, one boy is dealing with HIV, and he's like 15 years old. We know HIV is a big issue in our area, in our communities. And so we have to have people discussing it. We have to know what they feel about being young and being vulnerable or thinking they're invincible. And that's the kind of thing I try to do. We have to start to think about boys, black boys, especially as guys that fall in love. In this novel,
there's
a young boy who gets married. It's one of my favorite stories.
Let me read some of that. Let me see if I can get to that part. That was a beautiful story. I mean, really, because that's another issue. I've done stories, podcasts, about black marriages and why they succeed and why they don't succeed and how there are actually beautiful black marriages out there succeeding, but what does it take? What is the glue that keeps them stuck together?
Right.
One of the moments in that story I thought was so wonderful was there was a gentleman who actually wasn't the boy's father, but kind of adopted him. And they just have a really touching moment in the story where they're talking and the father is counseling him, and he's just telling him, look, I'm here for you no matter what. No matter whether you marry my daughter or not, the daughter is pregnant, but I'm going to be here for you. You're part of our family. Let me read this little part here. It says, I can't stop thinking, Tokay said, swallowing in between every word. Can't shut my head off, you know, his father-in-law laughed. Marriage is some scary stuff, man. No lie, I swear. The birds got quiet. All I can think about is man, I'm going to be a father. I'm going to be a husband. Be all used up before I'm 18. He looked over at Mr. Bentley, then took his time sitting down next to him. I love her, but I don't know. I didn't mean to cry. Didn't mean to cry so hard he wet up Mr. Bentley's shirt and got snot on his sleeve. I want to be married to her, you know, want to be with her forever and be a good dad like you, but Mr. Bentley held him like he held Cinderella when she was little. He wiped his nose and cleared his throat and tried to figure out what to say, what to do. But all he could think about was his daughter, how hurt she'd be, about himself, how this was all his fault. So he said it, even though he cried while he said it. We can get it annulled. Make it like it never happened. Now, you guys have to get the book again. You have to pick up her book. I don't want to read anymore. I'm leaving you hanging. You Don't Even Know Me, Stories and Poems About Boys. You can check her website, SharonGFlake.com. But that is just a beautiful story because that a lot of boys don't have that. You know that, right? They don't have that kind of role model.
Well, I always see it as a twofold thing. You're right. A lot of boys don't have it. So as a novelist, you can create it. But many, many boys still do have it. And I think I'm always looking at it from both perspectives that even if 90% of the population doesn't have something, that 10% of the population is still probably a huge population. You see what I mean? And so you see what I'm saying? So that even though many, many of our boys don't have it, lots of boys still have it. But many boys still need to have it, and so that's why I can create it. And if you look at the novel, it becomes as much about young men as it does about the men in their lives. Natural-born fathers, you know, adopted fathers, surrogate fathers, grandfathers. So it also becomes about the relationship with these other men in their lives.
Well, one of the really go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, go ahead.
One of the issues that is something we kind of don't talk about is suicide. And that was another important issue that you discussed in the book through a character who was a twin.
A twin.
Tell us about that a little about
well,
that.
You know what? It's about a young guy, and as soon as you get into that story, he's keeping a diary, and it doesn't take you long to realize that he is contemplating killing himself. We know what happens. We know what happens with young men. But, you know, there's been this theory in the black community for generations that black folks don't kill themselves.
that's a myth right there.
It's a myth. It doesn't happen, and that black guys, you know, they're tough, they're hard, they don't kill themselves. And so obviously that's insane. We suffer, we have pain, and we sometimes want ways out. That might not be the way we should take it, you know, but we have to be able to have conversations. We have to allow young people. What books can do is say to young people is you're not alone. You're not by yourself.
Because,
exactly. You know, when you're young, a lot of times you think it's just me. I'm, like, not pretty. I'm not smart. You know, I'm not tough. I'm not hard. I don't have the sneakers they have, or I don't have this. It's all, a lot of times it's about what I don't have, because you're kind of locked into your own consciousness a lot when you're young. And what I try to do is, in a sense, create worlds where you almost feel like you have to feel like that's me.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell a story in such a way that you feel like, this character, a lot of my stuff is first person, so this character is me, or I'll get emails from kids saying, is that like, did that story take place in North Philly, or did that take place in London?
Is that
real? I think that's like my neighborhood, you know, and you know you've gotten them. But again, in this case, this boy is, that story deals with suicide, it deals with molestation, something else we hardly talk to about with boys. And then I deal in the book with not just molestation from a man's perspective in terms of a man doing it to a boy, but also what happens when a woman who is older decides mm-hmm. to come after your son. And I try not to do things that are just so that you're like, okay, that's predictable. But what happens if, again, a young guy who is used to kind of caring for his mother in a very loving way also might have an attitude towards women like with a lot of respect and a lot of, hey, I need to take care of them. And so it complicates that story a little bit. But it allows you, a lot of my novels, I have one called Who Am I Without Him? Young girls and the guys in their lives. And so I have a lot of men and women who read them with their kids. And it allows them to go places that they wouldn't normally travel during the course of a day with your child, because how do you bring up some of those issues besides looking at it on television?
Well, I think it's important that adults read these books too. I'm an adult, and I have a teen daughter, and I don't have a boy. I have a girl, but it's important because she's going to be interacting with boys. So
right.
I think for me to read it as the parent and then for the child to read it. One of the people in the chat room was asking, and this is something she could probably contact you directly about, is donating some of your books to prison for juvenile girls. She would be really interested. I will definitely make sure she gets Michelle's contact information.
Say, yeah, or, you know, have her email me through SharonGFlake.com because I'm always on there. I'm on there all day long, and I can talk to her about it.
Tell us about the contest. You have a contest going on, yes?
I do have a contest going on, and it's
called
Spend the Summer with Sharon Flake. It started June 1st, and it goes to August 13th, and we make a decision in September. And it really is, if you read any of my books, and you can find them all on the website, I have 7 novels, read any of my books and write a 500-word essay on how my books have helped you see your community or your world differently. And if you want more details of the contest, you can also go on my website. You can send that, I won't even mention it, but if you go to my website, you'll be able to find out where you send the contest entry to.
Information.
And what you win is an opportunity for me to come to your school and a class set of books for your class. Second prize is, I think, a signed collection of my books for individuals, and so who win the second prize. And so there's a first, second, and third prize. You can enter it yourself, but the benefit is really to you and your school.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, here on the page, let me read here on the page, the contest deadline, August 13, 2010, and all submissions should be mailed to flake.sharon@gmail.com. Again, flake.sharon@gmail.com. So that's a wonderful contest. Another contest that we have that Michelle and I hooked up is I'm going to be giving away two of your books. So if you're listening to the show today, you need to email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com, the name of the mayor of Pittsburgh, okay? And whoever the first two people are, they'll get the books. And I think it's a wonderful gift. Again, if you don't have children, you can give it to somebody else who has, or you could even go to a school and read the story. That's another, taking your time to volunteer in schools to read to children about different issues. So please email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com, the mayor, the name of the mayor of Pittsburgh. I want to read a little bit from your story. You were talking about, you're from Philadelphia.
Right.
Billy in the house. So this is from my hood.
I was hoping you would.
Yeah, you're either. That is just, anyway, you guys got to pick up the book. I'm very excited about this. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but it's a great book. The police most likely wouldn't agree, but the hotter it gets in North Philly, the better. Philly heat makes people come out their house as quick as roaches running off a hot stove. The front steps fill up then. So do the pavements and corners. The streets get busy with cars flying by, blasting music so loud it shakes the windows and old people's bones, too, I bet. Summertime is a crazy time around here. My stepfather likes to say people lose their minds. I guess he knows how Philly heat can be hot, like cooked grit sliding down your back. It just goes into so many things in that chapter. One of them is a young boy dealing with, he's a pyromaniac almost. Well, on the verge of being a pyromaniac.
Well, he is. He is. To me, it's, I just want to back up a little bit. I tell people that's my love letter to North Philly. I hope people feel that way. And so what you see is a lot of things. This young boy has a stepdad who's a police officer. So as an adult and a police officer, what he sees about North Philadelphia is one thing. And what this young boy is like, he's 12, he can't wait to be out there. He loves North Philly. He loves the movement. He loves the girls. And, you know, I talk about how beautiful North Philly girls are. And my thing is, as a black woman, as a North Philly person, if I don't say it, who exactly do I expect to say it? And then he does have a friend. And his friend, he says at the end, is the person that gives him the courage to kind of go out here. But the main character kind of keeps his friend a little bit in balance. And his friend is a pyromaniac. He does like to set fires. And as they spend their day going through North Philly, they see what is beautiful and magical about North Philadelphia. The murals, you know, sitting out under the stars, the barbecue.
The swimming pools. I loved the swimming pools when I was a kid. Oh, my God. But I was also scared because you could get dunked. You know, people.
Well, and what happens in there is he gets dunked in there. And he gets dunked by somebody older. Yeah. And then you have the other side. You know, you do have things that happen. You do have somebody, I think, you know, I'm not going to tell people what happened, but you do have. They run into some other things.
Don't tell them what happened. Don't tell them. We're not going to tell them. They got to go buy the book.
You got to go buy the book. He runs into some other things that you might not want your kid to run into. And to me, the inner city is all not about just, oh, let's turn on the news and see all the horrible things about it, but it's the nuances. It's the beauty and it's the challenges. You know what I mean? It's the rough spots and it's those flowers that grow in those unexpected places. And those are the kind of stories that I like to tell.
So we have about a couple minutes left. I just want to commend you again on the books that you've been writing. I think they're going to be a wonderful. They're just going to stay even no matter where you are, like you said, no matter what color you are. Even though she's an African-American woman writing a lot about African-American characters, her books have been translated into French, to Spanish, Italian. One of the great things also you did in this book is if you need to talk to someone, at the back of the book there are resources about unplanned pregnancies, about talking about suicide hotline numbers, sexual abuse hotline numbers, HIV/AIDS, and violence at home, talking about national teen dating abuse. So not only is she telling you stories to take you places and maybe see yourself or friends that you have or situations that you might be dealing with, at the back of the book she's like, well, here, if you are dealing with this issue, this is who you can call and talk about it. So you don't have to put this book down and go get another book. It's all in one book here, the stories and the help. Real quick, who are some of the writers that you like to read?
You know what? Zora Neale Hurston, Langston Hughes, Bebe Moore Campbell. I like, you know what I mean? So there's some current people that I Maya Angelou. God, there's some children's authors. Sharon Draper, I like to read her work. She's another African-American children's author. Walter D. Myers, another African-American young adult author. So there are very few of us that do this business. But if you go to my website, too, and I list books I've wished I'd written, you can find some of those novels there, too. And so this is like a great business for people who want to write for young people. It's wide open for us right now. We need many, many voices, African-American, Latino, Korean, Asian, because the people of color especially are missing from this business. And I'll tell you what, every day I feel like I've died and gone to heaven. Because I get to write, I really do, I get to write for the best kids on the planet. And I get
so
to
you're
tell
following
stories
your
that
bliss.
Matter.
Yes.
I get to tell stories that matter and have young people feel like their lives are being transformed across cultures because of the work. So if you want to do this and you have a heart for children, come on board. You'll have the ride of your life. You really will.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on this morning. I want to mention your website again, SharonGFlake.com. Also, again, she's having a contest this summer. Spend the summer with Sharon Flake. First prize is a free school visit from her. The second prize is an autographed copy of one of her books and a set of books for the English language arts or reading classroom in your school. And the third place winner will receive an autographed copy of one of her books. And
you're great. Also, just real quick, churches can get their students involved, too. Now, the benefit will be for the kid,
okay.
The kid and their school. But I have churches that are saying, we're going to spend the summer having our kids read your book, entering the contest. And so it's churches, community centers, schools. It'll be tied into the school ultimately, but the goal is to help children and to get them reading and get them writing. So that benefits all of us.
Definitely. And you can email your submission to flake.sharon@gmail.com, and that deadline is Friday, August 13th. And also, don't forget, I'm giving away two of her books if you email me the name of the mayor of Pittsburgh at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Again, that's SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I want to thank you so much for coming on this morning. I really appreciate you coming on, and I just wish you so much success. And please keep writing, because they're just so wonderful. I can't even read to the audience all the stuff. I have so many pages turned down in your book.
Well, you know what? You are fabulous. I would love to come back. I had such a good time, and it's clear that you read the work, and you have a passionate heart for people and kids. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And have a wonderful Saturday, okay?
I will. You too. Thank you.
Okay, all right, bye-bye. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening this morning. I'm going to be doing a second show live from Ethiopia with Bethlehem Alemu. She's the founder of Soul Rebel. So if you have time, please stay tuned for the 11:30 to 12 segment. If not, you can come back next week, and I'm going to be talking with a wonderful author at 11 a.m. Eastern next week, Kimberla Lawson Roby. Please take a moment for the kids in your life. You see kids in your community. You might be sitting on your porch complaining about the kids in your community. Pick up a Sharon Flake book and give it to them. Pick up a book and give it to them. You complain about what's going on and where things are going. This is something that you can do. It doesn't cost a lot of money to pick up one of her books and give it to them. Or go to their school and read to them. They need that. They need to hear that there are other kids dealing with the same issues. Thank you so much. Again, you can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys. You can become a fan of the show on Saturday mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook. And again, I'm doing a second show in about a minute or two with a woman from Ethiopia, Bethlehem Alemu, who founded Soul Rebels. And I'll be giving away some shoes. So if you want some shoes, tune in. Thank you so much.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much. I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start, how you can spot the signs, and most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.